Before long, we'll be where it would have taken mankind millions of years of learning to reach.
And what will Mitchell learn on getting there? Will he know what to do with his power?
That's the big agenda here, is undermining the whole idea of journalism, and that's the real thing to worry about.
The good old Ministry of Truth has another outlet.
Too often, broadcast radio insults your intelligence instead of respecting it, improving it, challenging it. But not here. Where knowledge is power, this is Powerful Radio. This is 30 minutes of information and inspiration. This is the Ministry of Truth. Hello and welcome to the Ministry of Truth. I'm Mitchell Stripinchik. On today's show, we'll hear an interview with Neil Reznikoff, who has been working with the Save Send Coalition in efforts around education in Chicago, particularly involving that of Chicago Public Schools CEO and forthcoming Obama Education Secretary Arnie Duncan. The following interview was recorded on Sunday, January 4th, 2009. We are joined by Neil Reznikoff. Neil Reznikoff is a Chicago-based political activist and a member of the Save Send Coalition. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
We'll be talking about education matters, especially as they pertain to the newly appointed and very likely to be confirmed incoming Secretary of Education, Arnie Duncan. But we mentioned the Save Send Coalition. Could you begin by explaining what the Save Send Coalition is and what your particular role in the Save Send Coalition is?
So the Save Send Coalition, which is savesend.org, is a coalition that developed 5 years ago when the government announced that it was going to be putting a naval academy, a military academy, into the Senn High School building.
And Senn, it refers to a Senn High School in Chicago.
That's right.
Spelled S-E-N-A.
Right.
Okay.
And this was being done as part of an overall plan to increase military recruiting from among young people, as the military was having increasing difficulty recruiting young people in the wake of the illegal and aggressive wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and interference elsewhere. They've found that JROTC, Junior Reserve Officer Training Cadet Corps, in high schools and in college are very successful recruiting tools, perhaps the best. Over 60% of those who are in the high school JROTCs get recruited into the active military.
So these are schools that are within high schools that serve as a kind of training ground?
JROTC historically have been once or twice a week classes in military training and skills. Mm-hmm. And a new development has been to put military academies, which are all day schools with a military focus, into the school systems. Mm-hmm. And Chicago has been a pioneer in that. There are now several military academies in the Chicago public schools. The Naval Academy that was put into Senn High School very much upset the students, parents, faculty, and community, both because of its military component among people who were opposed to the military recruiting for the wars. It was done very undemocratically. It was just put in over the objection of the students, faculty, and community. One of their objections was that it squeezed the existing programs in Senn High School. So a Save Senn coalition was immediately formed to oppose having the Naval Academy inside the Senn High School building. Mm-hmm. It was unsuccessful in getting the Naval Academy removed, but it's continued as a coalition because of allied factors that have come up that Arnie Duncan has also been involved in. He was involved in one of those involved in having the military academy put into the Senn High School building. Mm-hmm. He came to some public meetings that objected to the academy being put in. He explained that this was not for military recruiting, it was for career choice. And he was in favor of it, even though he's a Quaker.
So Arne Duncan is a Quaker, a religious group that has a tradition of nonviolence and peace, and yet he's been in favor of, at least with regards to Senn High School, installing this military academy within Senn High School over the clear objections of practically everyone connected with Senn High School.
That's right. But Senn, the military academy at Senn High School was not his first effort to further militarize the schools with the rationalization that this is career choice or options. There are several other military academies and the regular JROTC, and Arne Duncan regularly goes out to view to be on the marshal stand for the parades of the JROTC and has encouraged their development in the various schools.
I did not know the connection regarding him being a Quaker. What do you think accounts for this kind of discrepancy between, at least as far as his professed faith, on the one hand, being supporting of peace, and yet as far as his policies regarding his job, as far as the CEO, and that just blows my mind of why he has a CEO title of the Chicago Public Schools, being professed for war. What do you think accounts for this discrepancy here?
Well, we don't know his exact psychology, but Nixon was also a Quaker, if you remember.
I did not know that either.
So the CEO title is very important, mm-hmm. because Arne Duncan is a servant of the Business Roundtable and the Chicago Civic Federation, mm-hmm. which are business groupings that have been trying to destroy public education and to replace public education with various forms of private education, privatizing public education. And the military academies are just one aspect of that, where they've... So he's been pursuing that business model of governance and of content, mm-hmm. that is privatizing the schools, some for profit, some not for profit, but destroying public education, which is a clear agenda of the neoliberal and other business elements. So the CEO model has been put in which they judge the schools based on various fraudulent standardized tests, mm-hmm. cookie cutter kinds of curriculums to train obedient students in rote memory, mm-hmm. to discourage creative and critical thinking and other activities. So the CEO label is perfect for what he's doing.
Let me ask you about some of the arguments that people have posed with regards to what Duncan has been trying to do. And let me hear your responses. Here's one possible argument, especially regarding the introduction of, I guess you could call it, a militarization of the Chicago public schools. That certain people may argue that there's been a lack of discipline, a lack of responsibility, and a lack of quality with regards to public education, perhaps in Chicago and perhaps nationwide, that people may then argue, well, a military academy would help to install discipline and instill responsibility and help to raise the quality standards of that. Have you heard this argument, and what would be your response to it?
Well, we know that discipline can be instilled and encouraged in students in a variety of ways. If they're on well-coached sports teams, for example, there's a definite discipline involved. Or in various arts programs, dance, various other artistic endeavors, music, require a great deal of discipline. So the issue of discipline is not something that's only instilled by the military. And, of course, the military discipline is for a given purpose, of recruiting for the active military. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue of various problems of discipline in the schools, and I was a teacher for over 20 years.
What did you teach?
I taught in junior high school and high school and college, English mainly, mm-hmm. social studies. Mm-hmm. So the issue of having the students being prepared to learn and to sit quietly, to hear others in discussion or the teacher is certainly a problem, especially in certain schools. And my experience with that is that the government officials, reflecting the corporate needs, don't seem to care about a lot of the kids, especially with high unemployment. Mm-hmm. They may not care to do what we know they can do, which is to teach reading and writing, to give individualized instruction to those with problems. And so the schools have been notoriously underfunded for years. Not the schools in the suburbs, usually. Not New Trier High School outside of Chicago, mm-hmm. or some of the excellent suburban schools around the various cities, mm-hmm. which are very high quality. But the schools in the inner cities that are mainly serving oppressed minorities are very underfunded. And as a result, in Chicago, you have a 50% dropout rate. You have a discrediting of public education by what goes on or does not go on in the schools. And Arne Duncan has been part of that trying to impose curriculums that will not encourage critical or creative thinking, but just rote memory, cookie-cutter thinking. Gates, the big capitalist Gates, for example, Bill Gates.
Of Microsoft, yes.
Has been behind a program called Transformations, which is imposing a pre-done syllabus by the business interests. They're contracted out to various contractors for this purpose, so that all the teachers in a given grade or a given subject will be teaching the same exact syllabus, the same wording every day, and preparing for the standardized tests, which are notoriously reflective of class background when the scores come in.
Mm-hmm. Going back to various other arguments that people have posed to justify, maybe after the fact, this kind of neoliberal agenda, if we can call it, there's a, you kind of touched on it a little bit before, regarding the corporatization of education, and maybe tied with it the privatization, where it's kind of removed from public hands and maybe put into private arrangements of one or various sort. And one argument that you might hear is that it's more efficient to do so, to put it into the private sector, treat it as a business, and with that also be able to treat that as a more streamlined and better managed operation than you would under a bloated bureaucratic public arrangement. Have you heard this argument, and what would be your response to this?
Well, the bloated and bureaucratic educational arrangement, of course, is a reflection of a certain aspect of the parasitical nature of a lot of capitalism, which we've just seen in the financial crisis. And it takes its form in among various politicians or in the school systems. Mm-hmm. But the what was the question again?
Regarding privatization itself, why is there, is it less more efficient to privatize, as you might hear people who are advocating on this behalf?
There is a question of a philosophy of education. Mm-hmm. What kind of education do we want to foster the most critical thinking, students who can think through various issues and problems and take their place in that way in a democratic society, rather than be some form of robot that follows orders diligently in this or that business.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess it kind of boils down to, what's the philosophy that you're undergirding? You're trying to create cogs in the machine or human beings who operate in a democratic society?
Exactly. And the business model does judge by efficiency. Mm-hmm. And if a school does not have, in Chicago under Arne Duncan, and before that under Paul Vallis, and Arne Duncan, who became an administrator in Chicago with no previous public school background or training or experience, he came in under Paul Vallis to apply, to learn and apply this business model, and to judge schools by test scores, and to quickly write them off as being unsuccessful if the scores did not improve in exactly the way the administrators wanted them to improve. And as a result, in Chicago, many schools have just arbitrarily been closed, teachers fired, students transferred to other schools. And part of this also has to do with gentrification, because a lot of this application of this efficiency model has been in areas where real estate values are going up in prime real estate areas near the lake, around the Gold Coast, but particularly on the near south side or even further south, but near the lake, where developers are going in to destroy public housing and replace it with various forms of private housing. So then schools are needed to serve that class of students that comes in under gentrification.
You had touched on this as well regarding a metric of what would deem to be a successful school. And it seems like that there's maybe an over an emphasis, maybe an exclusive emphasis on standardized tests for particular topics like reading, for mathematics, for science. And I looked at this online, that there was a commentary about this and a report in the Sun Times that talked about how where Arnie Duncan has touted the example about there being higher test scores and improved test scores since he imposed this kind of neoliberal school arrangement regime, that and the Sun Times actually reported that no, it turns out that scores are not having been improved, that they've actually kind of ginned the numbers in terms of how they actually keep track of scores. Have you heard about this?
Well, some of the charter or performance or contract schools, which are forms of the privatization of schools, some of them have been supposedly had increased test scores. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that a lot of these schools, especially in the areas that have been gentrified or are being gentrified, a lot of these test scores reflect a different group of students than were there originally. And the test scores, to a great extent, reflect that class status. That is, students from the middle class or upper classes tend to have higher test scores just because of their background, of their parents, their training at home, and that sort of preparation.
There is, let me just actually bring out, I'm holding here a copy of the monthly newsletter of the Save Send Coalition, which is cleverly titled Anchors Away, but spelled A-W-A-Y. In the October 2008 issue of the newsletter, there's a very interesting paragraph that kind of touches on what you've talked about already regarding race and class dimensions regarding education. I'm reading now. In Chicago, recruiting, military recruiting, is class and race-based. The U.S. military has entrenched itself in a public school system that is mainly non-white and poor, about 50% African-American and 38% Latino. 85% of the students come from low-income families. The military programs reflect this and is prime recruiting ground for the military, since many of these students have few options after high school or even after college. And this would suggest to me, at least, that as other analysts have pointed out, that the military itself basically draws to fill its ranks of rank and file soldiers from predominantly poor and predominantly communities of color, African American and Latino. And this kind of also feeds into this arrangement of why there's this predomination of having military academies in neighborhoods which are predominantly communities of color. But the Sen community is something of an exception, that it seems to be predominantly white and predominantly affluent. Why then is there this emphasis to try to include Sen as part of this matrix where this seems to be a focus of predominantly black and Latino communities as far as filling in that military rank and file?
Well, let me just back up on your question a little bit. Probably the main recruits for the military come from rural areas, and these would be non-oppressed minorities. These would be poor whites, for the most part. So in the urban centers, you have school systems that are largely African-American, Latino, or of others. Now, Sen High School has a student body that draws from the community. It's a general community high school. And so it draws from the general community, and it has something like 70 nationalities that in the student body, like 50 languages. Mm-hmm. So, and it's predominantly a working class community high school. Now, the Naval Academy that was put into the school is a selective school, and it draws from all over the city. And it's not open to just any student. They have to pass either various tests or interviews. There are a few military academies in the city that are not so selective. Now, the JROTC programs that are not military academies, they are based within each school. And so the JROTC in Senn High School, there's an Army JROTC there, that would be mostly various nationalities or minorities, and the same would be true of the general community high school known as Roosevelt High School over in Albany Park, and various other ones. Within the Chicago school system, 1 out of 10 students, high school students, is in a military program, plus some in the middle schools. So most of those...
We're talking like 4th, 5th, 6th grade, basically.
5th and 6th grade.
Okay.
Although some of the recruiters for the JROTC go into even elementary schools to prepare the students for recruiting. There were some recruiters from the one of the ROTC programs in Pierce Elementary School that visited 2nd, 3rd, and 4th grade classes the other day. So they're, thinking on the whole issue of JROTC is that it's a very good military program, and they're preparing to expand JROTC more nationally, and they're trying to lay the groundwork for that in various ways. So in Chicago, it's mostly a program for oppressed minorities, poor students. And although we don't have the exact statistics of how many students from the JROTC programs in Chicago go on to the active military, in general, across the country, we know that it's more than 60% by the government's own testimony.
I'd like you to talk a little bit more about the Safe Send Coalition itself and some of the activities that it's been doing since its founding in 2004. You said that it was a movement to try to prevent the academy from being installed within Safe High School, the Hyman Rickover Naval Academy, as I understand it. But that unfortunately didn't work. What has happened since, and what have been some of the activities that the Safe Send Coalition has done?
No, it hasn't worked so far, but we're continuing with that campaign and program.
Okay.
And one of the things that we're doing is trying to save and preserve Senn High School as a very good quality general community high school. There have been other attacks on Senn High School in addition to the military academy being imposed inside the building. There's been an effort to break up and privatize this very good quality general community high school. So the Save Senn Coalition has also taken it up as one of its prongs of activities and campaigns to not only save this general community high school, open to all students without testing, but to improve it to the maximum. And to beat back all the efforts to have the school divided up into selective schools or some of these charterized smaller schools of any sort. So one of the efforts has been to encourage a lot of input into what would make the Senn High School curriculum even better than it is. So some 2,000 people have given input, and there have been efforts to upgrade that curriculum, and that has been moving along quite successfully so far, so that this past fall an additional 200 students came to the school that were not projected for the expected enrollment by the Board of Education. So the school is attracting more students. It needs more elbow room. Because the military academy was put into the building, it squeezed the existing programs, made the school more crowded, and there's a need for it to expand once again, for the Naval Academy to go elsewhere. So that's one of the efforts of the Save Senn Coalition, in addition to doing general discussion with students about the problems of militarization in the school, of the military trying to recruit them, the problems with the various aggressive and illegal wars that the U.S. is engaged in, what happens to the various troops with their post-traumatic stress syndrome, mm-hmm. Being wounded and killed, high incidence of rapes and aggression against women in particular, high suicide rate, and various other stories, and encouraging them, as Lieutenant Watata did, to refuse service for an illegal war. So this monthly newsletter that goes out to a good 1,000 or 1,200 students each month, mm-hmm. and encourages discussion inside the school, these are among the activities of the Save Send Coalition, and we would encourage others in schools locally and across the country to take up the same kinds of activities. In San Francisco, there's already been a successful program to have JROTC removed from the San Francisco schools. Mm-hmm. The Board of Education passed a resolution to have that accomplished. In California, JROTC is no longer allowed to be substituted for physical education class credit. And there are various other campaigns going on across the country that we also are interested in and see what we and are seeing what we can take up here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. With Arne Duncan slated to become the Secretary of Education, you would imagine that a lot of the kind of neoliberal-esque education priorities will probably be taken to a national stage. I mean, the fact that he's already been tapped as an education secretary, and all signs seem to be that he will accept that, means that what he's been trying to impose on the Chicago Public Schools, on Senn High School, and so forth, could well be writ large nationally.
And President-elect Obama has indicated that he's in favor of moving schools in that direction, to having maximum numbers of charter schools, which means undercutting the public schools, moving funds from public schools to other forms of schools that generally, at least in Chicago, have no union teachers, no teacher input into the curriculum, undercuts the power of the local school councils. Arne Duncan has been instrumental in trying to remove grassroots power from the parents and teachers and students at the school level, and to have it reside in the CEO department. So we can expect this to take place nationally, and we should nationally oppose this whole trend.
And that's what I was actually going to get to next, that since you're seeing this kind of neoliberal imposition of the national education system writ large, you could also see a national counter response, just as there has been like the Save Send Coalition in Chicago and various other efforts to help to improve or to beat back on this neoliberal wave.
Exactly.
So you could see it happen nationally as well.
Exactly. Paul Vallis, who was the mentor for Arne Duncan, went to Philadelphia and imposed some of the same privatization schemes there. Mm-hmm. Some of them fell flat on their faces. They were just not successful. And charter schools generally are not more successful by any standard of measure, including standardized tests, generally speaking, than the public schools. I mean, there is an issue of improving the public schools, mm-hmm. but it's education of students is not being solved through this privatization scheme. Paul Vallis has since gone down to New Orleans, where in the wake of Hurricane Katrina and the great destruction of housing there and the exodus, the forced exodus of many people, especially African Americans, public housing projects have been demolished there. Of course, that's another aspect of removing public services and replacing them with various private developments. And the public schools have been pretty much destroyed in New Orleans and replaced with charter schools. But in New Orleans and Chicago, in Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, and various other places, there is a great interest in beating back this privatization effort. Right now there's a caucus in Chicago, there's a caucus in the Chicago Teachers Union that's devoting itself in a focused way to opposing this privatization. And all these kinds of efforts need to be taken up, and they require a great deal of persistence, a long-range view of how long it's going to take. Victories are possible. We've had some locally. We've restricted military recruiters in the public schools. We've not had Save Sen broken up as of yet. It's a constant battle. Mm-hmm. The transformation programs, that is these cookie-cutter syllabuses, have not been imposed in all the schools. So between parents and community people and strong teachers' union caucuses or the unions as a whole, and we know from history that victories can be won with an attention to what the issues are, the content, letting the public know about it, encouraging maximum participation and being persistent.
We've been speaking with Neil Reznikoff. He's a Chicago area community activist and political organizer who is also a member of the Save Sen Coalition online at savesen.org, Sen spelled S-E-N-N. Neil, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was an interview with Neil Reznikoff of the Save Sen Coalition, recorded on January 4th, 2009. Again, the website for the Save Sen Coalition is www.savesen.org. Save Sen is spelled S-A-V-E-S-E-N-N. You can also call the coalition at 773-250-3225. Listen to all past episodes of the Ministry of Truth online at www.szcz.org. That concludes this episode of the Ministry of Truth. Special thanks to Mario and the staff of WHPK Radio in Chicago. Thank you for listening.